For 65 years, Charlie Brown has been getting kites stuck in trees, missing footballs, and getting hit by baseballs.
Good grief, Charlie Brown, you're ridiculous!
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With a new Peanuts movie in theaters, we'll talk about why Charlie Brown and the gang still resonate with audiences everywhere and the enduring legacy of creator Charles Schulz. I'll talk with Karen Johnson, director of the Charles M. Schulz Museum and Research Center in Santa Rosa, California. Then later in the hour, Iowa State University's Comedy College, a class that introduces students to the art of doing stand-up. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, we'll go to Comedy College at Iowa State University. But first, newspaper readers were first introduced to Charlie Brown in 1950. The comic strip Peanuts grew over the years, inspiring books, TV specials, stuffed animals, movies, and much, much more. It is a cultural touchstone for generations of Americans. And even though creator Charles Schulz passed away in 2000, the comic strip still runs in newspapers everywhere. The holiday specials still get watched every year. And the new Peanuts movie that just opened in theaters brought in $45 million during opening weekend. This hour, we're going to talk about Peanuts and the enduring legacy of Charles Schulz. And we do want to hear from you this hour. Are you a Peanuts fan? Why? Is there a particular character that you have always identified with? What do the Peanuts specials mean in your family? Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me now is Karen Johnson. She is director of the Charles M. Schulz Museum and Research Center in Santa Rosa, California. Hello, Karen.
Well, hello. Thank you so much for having me on. We're thrilled to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And let's go back to 1950, that first comic strip that got published. Can you describe it for me?
Well, it's that Charlie Brown. He's walking down the street and the two little characters are sitting on the curb. And it's just basically, there's that Charlie Brown. And he walks by and he goes, "How I hate that Charlie Brown." And I never quite have understood why Shermie, and that's the little character that's saying that. But it kind of sets the stage for the conversation Charles Schulz will have with the world for the next 65 years, children talking to each other, just in conversations, making their days.
Well, and I know that when Charles Schulz first published that strip, things weren't focus grouped. They weren't necessarily targeted for a specific audience. But who do you think he was writing to and drawing for?
Well, he will tell you that it's not a children's strip. He is looking at the world through children, but it's really about all of us. It's about our relationships to each other. It's about our conversations with people. It's about how we see ourselves, how we see others. It was, as I said, an ongoing conversation about the human condition, seen through the eyes of children, but it's for adults.
Let's play just a little clip from the special, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. Let's listen.
Sure.
Oh. No, we're not going to listen to that right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe we are. All right, go. Okay.
Come on, Charlie Brown. I'll hold the ball and you kick it. Hold it. Ha! You'll pull it away and I'll land flat on my back and kill myself.
But Charlie Brown, it's Thanksgiving.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, one of the greatest traditions we have is the Thanksgiving Day football game. And the biggest, most important tradition of all is the kicking off of the football.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Come on, Charlie Brown. It's a big honor for you.
Well, if it's that important, a person should never turn down a big honor. Maybe I should do it. Besides, she wouldn't try to trick me on a traditional holiday. This time I'm gonna kick that football clear to the moon!
God! All right, that was actually a clip from the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special. And of course, Lucy holding the football, Charlie Brown missing the football. And over again, this happened. Charlie Brown had so much trouble in so many parts of his life. And I know a lot of people asked Charles Schulz while he was alive, why not give Charlie Brown a break? Why was it so important to him to make sure that Charlie Brown always got the raw end of the deal?
Well, I think for him, he would tell you, you know, there's a whole composition around each character. And keep in mind, he was writing gags every day. Yes, it had a universal feel to it, but he was always looking for the gag. And so setting Charlie Brown up with Lucy is part of the gag. And it's part of the sweetness because Charlie Brown always rises to the emotional occasion. She wouldn't do that. That's right. I'm going to do it today. So you're always hopeful. But in the back of your head, you know Lucy's going to pull it out from under him again. But it doesn't take away from his hope, ultimately. He goes right back into it, hopeful and positive and constructive. So I think it's just the whole composition of his characters and looking for a daily gag.
And
it's a combination of those two things.
Was Charlie Brown Charles Schulz's alter ego?
He would say that he was all the characters, very much so. He said, you know, there are days when I'm crabby and Lucy comes out. And I think, you know, he did admit to the fact one time that someone was asking him about how bland and round Charlie Brown's face was. And he said, well, I think that, you know, could potentially be me. I didn't think much of myself as a young man and I was very, very shy. So he would say elements of himself were in Charlie Brown, but elements of all the characters were in him.
Well, let's go back to that early life. Where did Charles Schulz grow up?
St. Paul, Minnesota, a very proud Midwest gentleman.
And that explains the love of ice sports that also gets reflected in the Peanuts strip, right?
Very much so. As he said to many people and many interviewers over the years, to know me is to read the strip. Everything I am goes into that strip. So he was a kid who loved hockey. He was a kid who couldn't wait for the snow to melt and baseball season would start. He's a kid whose Charlie Brown's dad was a barber. Charles Schulz's father was a barber. You know, they love dogs. Snoopy comes right out of Charles Schulz's life experience with dogs. So, yes, this is the story of the Midwest gentleman that you see his life in these strips.
And Charles Schulz got a nickname very, very early in life. His nickname was Sparky. Tell me where that came from.
Well, I think it's a very romantic fairy tale in a way. In 1922, when he's born, one of the most famous strips at the time is Barney Google and Andy Gump. And about six months before he's born, they've introduced a horse named Sparkplug. And, you know, keep in mind, the funny papers at the time were kind of our way as a country that we had entertainment. I mean, everybody wanted to know what's going on in Prince Valley and what's going to happen with Barney Google. And Sparkplug was running a race. Well, Sparkplug, at that moment, happened to be one of the most famous cartoon characters in the country. And Charles Schulz is born, and like every other family, his father, his aunts, his uncles, everybody read the Sunday papers. And I love the fact that it was his uncle, his mother's brother, who came in and saw him when he was, 48 hours old. He's an infant. And he looks at his sister and he goes, let's name him Sparkplug. And she said, yes. So great. I love that part of it. It's a brother and a sister. So he went by the name of Sparky from that moment on.
So he has talked about this, or he talked about it at various times in his life,
right,
that if anyone was really born to create a comic strip, maybe it was him.
It was him. He felt that he wanted to be a cartoonist from the moment he could think about what he wanted to be. It was that clear to him. He said there was one summer when he was 13 or 14 where he really thought he might wanted to be a professional golfer, but that was just because he had such affection for Ben Hogan and these guys that golf. But he knew from the beginning he wanted to be a cartoonist.
Now, as he was growing up and drawing and creating pictures, did he get much encouragement?
for that?
Well, no, he didn't. And there's a very famous story about his high school annual, and Craig Schultz has talked about this in some of the interviews I've seen around the movie. His teacher did encourage him because he did have he was in an art class, and his teacher, one teacher, saw his potential, and he was asked to draw some figures for the yearbook, and he was so excited to do that. And then the yearbook came out, and not one of them were in it. And that's such a Charlie Brown story.
He did get one of his drawings published in a pretty impressive place, though, right?
Ripley's Believe It or Not, his very first publication was about his childhood dog, Spike, who was kind of a cross between a hunter and a pointer. And he loved Spike. He thought Spike had the best fantasy life. He knew that he knew 50 words. He would eat tacks. He could send him down to the basement and say, bring up a potato. He ate hot potatoes. So he wrote to Ripley's and drew a picture of Spike. And it was his first publication that was ever in a newspaper. He was about 14 at the time.
Now, of course, Snoopy has a brother named Spike later on. Is there a relation there?
More than likely. Absolutely. You know, yes, I'm sure it comes right out of his childhood. And Spike also, if you'll remember, lives in Needles, California. Well, when Charles Schultz was very young, his family moved to Needles, California because they were going to start a new life. And there was a cousin who left Minnesota because he was having some lung problems. And a lot of people went to the, you know, that part of California to recover. So, but his father thought he might end up there. You know, wanted to possibly move to Sacramento. In the end, it didn't work out for Sparky and his mother and father, so they came back to St. Paul. But that's where you get the idea of Needles and Spike living in Needles in the desert.
Now, how did that first Charlie Brown comic strip come about? And it wasn't, of course, it's not called Charlie Brown. It's called Peanuts, which was also a source of contention for Charles Schultz. But how did that first strip come about?
Well, I think it evolved. I mean, I can't tell you what particular day, but he had another strip, a one-panel strip called Little Folks, and that was a one-panel, and that would be put in the St. Paul newspapers, and Peanuts evolved out of Little Folks. And so it just was an extension of Little Folks. That's as simple as it is. I can't say why he did that particular strip on that day, but it was an extension of Little Folks when it got syndicated.
Where did the name Peanuts come from?
Well, some publisher, some editor, and I don't know the name of the particular editor, but he said, we're going to call it Peanuts. And Charles Schultz says, no, we're going to call it either Good Old Charlie Brown or something. And he went, no, we're going to call it Peanuts. And at that time, when you're 28 years old and you're signing your first syndication, you don't have a lot of power in the conversation, I would say. And they just said, that's what you call kids. Peanuts. And we have no idea, you know, officially where that particular editor or publisher came up with it. Maybe it was, I don't know, someone in his family that called children peanuts.
And did Charles Schultz ever come to like it?
Never.
Never.
To the day he died, he said, what a bad name for a strip, which I kind of like. I love his consistency. You know, he never came around. He's like, no, it should have been called something else.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about Peanuts and the enduring legacy of creator Charles Schultz today. Karen Johnson is my guest, director of the Charles M. Schultz Museum and Research Center in Santa Rosa, California. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll go to Comedy College at Iowa State University. But right now, we are talking about Peanuts. We're talking about the enduring legacy of Peanuts comic strip creator Charles Schultz. And we want to hear from you. What has Peanuts meant to you? It's a comic strip that has spawned many other things like movies and, of course, TV specials and books and stuffed animals. And really, it's become a cultural touchstone for so many people. Why is it important to you? Is there a character that has meant a lot to you or a character that you really relate to? We'd love to hear your story. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me is Karen Johnson, director of the Charles M. Schultz Museum and Research Center in Santa Rosa, California. And let's go to the phones. Jim is on the line in Dubuque. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, and this is something that really has struck a chord with you over the years.
Yeah, I hadn't really realized it until you asked for suggestions on how it had. I use in my online conversations as my avatar a small picture of Joe Cool, Snoopy as Joe Cool. And I suppose I do that because there was a series of strips he did. It was either over Thanksgiving or Christmas holiday back when I was in high school. And it was, here's Joe Cool hanging out at the student union. Here's Joe Cool looking at the boards and like this. And the last frame says, no one ever invites Joe Cool home for the holidays.
Oh.
And my brother John saw that and he almost cried because he thought of all these guys he went to college with that he could have invited home for the weekend.
Uh-oh.
He just didn't think of it.
Wow.
Nice. So, very sweet. Very sweet.
And so that has stayed with you, Jim.
Yeah. All these years. More of years, well, I will confess to.
Well, let me tell you the origins of Joe Cool, the name Joe Cool. Charles Schulz, as some of you know, built a huge, beautiful ice arena, which we are directly across the street from, and it really became the center of our community and the center where he raised his children. His boys were hockey players, his girls were ice skaters, and his kids hung out all their years there. And he talks about one day he heard his son Craig, who is the producer of the movie that's out. He and his buddies were hanging around and a guy was walking by and they said, oh, he thinks he's Joe Cool. He kind of heard that conversation and that's how he started framing Snoopy as Joe Cool. So that's where it comes from.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And you already told us that Charles Schulz loved dogs. And so that explains a little bit about where Snoopy came from. But I think it's really interesting to look at the evolution of Snoopy, because in the early strips, he's much more like a regular dog.
People forget that, all writers, their characters, you know, evolve. And Snoopy started out as a puppy on all fours and actually was obedient and was appreciative when Charlie Brown brought his supper dish. But as the strip began to grow and the dog got a little bit more smart alecky and a little more feisty, and then eventually the dog stood up. And when the dog stood up, Charles Schulz says that's when Snoopy took over the strip. And that's when his fantasy world really started evolving. And the power shift came with Snoopy taking the control of a lot of the fantasy scenes. And that comes from a very sweet story. Charles Schulz would tell you he did. He loved animals and he had dogs all of his life. His children had dogs. And he used to take his kids to school. And he'd be driving in the station wagon with all the kids in the car. And he'd be leaving the neighborhoods and he'd think, what are these dogs going to do all day? They're in their backyard. We're all gone. And that was his answer. You know, they have their own life and they have their own fantasy. So I love the fact that one of his thoughts came out of the sweetness of, what do these dogs do all day when their owners aren't around? So
did he feel like Snoopy became the most popular and most important part of the strip?
I don't know if he would say it's the most important part of the strip, but he certainly acknowledged the importance and the popularity of Snoopy and how people really, really identified with that dog. And he loved it. He really, really appreciated that. But I wouldn't think he would say that it was the only character that he wanted people to identify with. He appreciated that everybody had a sense of regard or identification with Lucy or Sally's silly philosophy or Linus's sweet, you know, way of looking at life. For Schroeder's devotion to the piano. And then again, Lucy, who's the smart aleck, but she's got the vulnerable spot because she's devoted to Schroeder. So I think he would appreciate all of that.
Well, and Charles Schulz, we didn't mention, was drafted into the military and he served World War II. And we see, of course, Snoopy engaging in a lot of military fantasies. Mm-hmm. Was that a way to express some of his experiences during the war?
Well, I would say that stretching it a bit, only that he wasn't in aviation. One, I will tell you, it's very poignant to be doing this on Veterans Day. Charles Schulz was so proud of his service. He went in to World War II as a very lonely young man.
And he had just lost his mother, yeah.
Just lost his mother. And he said it was the most important thing that shaped his life. And to tell you how important it was to him, on his gravestone, he doesn't have anything about peanuts. This is Staff Sergeant Schulz. So to all the veterans out there, I know that he's proud of his colleagues and proud of people who serve because it was that important to him. As far as Snoopy, that whole thing about his fantasy life and the sup with Camel and chasing the Red Baron came out of a story, you know, when he was talking to his son Monty, and Monty it was building these World War One planes, and Sparky started reading about the Red Baron, and he said it just became a great storyline for him. So that's how Snoopy got into that particular situation, as being the flying ace aviator from World War One.
We're talking about the legacy of Charles Schulz this hour, and of course the enduring popularity of Peanuts. We'd love to hear from you. What do the Peanuts holiday specials mean in your family? What does the comic strip mean to you? You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Jan is on the line from Granger. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Hi. Tell me about your experience with Peanuts.
Well, I've been a lifetime Peanuts fan, and partly because I was telling the call screener that my parents wanted me to read, and I was not interested in the books that were out there until I started reading the Charlie Brown books, which is a comic strip in the paperback books. And they bought, through the book clubs at school, bought every book, and I would not put them down. And that's how I learned to read and how I started reading.
Well, Karen, I'll bet that's a story you hear quite a bit.
It is one of my fondest stories, because I love to read all the time, to know that that is how people got into their own love of reading. We hear that all the time. We have a research center where we have samples of all the books, and I love when we bring people in to give them tours, because they walk right up to the wall and go, oh, that was the first one I read. Or I remember when I got that one for Christmas. My grandmother and I went and bought this one. So I love the fact that there's not only this practical process of learning to read, which opens the world, but there's still this emotional affection for those particular books.
Well, and Jan, I'm sure that the pictures and the simple words included in the strip made that a step you could take as a young reader. But was there something special about Peanuts that really drew you to those strips?
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like I always used to say that I identified with Charlie Brown and I emulated Snoopy.
What a great combination.
You know, I just felt like, you know, Snoopy kind of had the carefree.
Yes.
And I love Linus's look on the world. And I think he's a tremendous philosopher.
Yes. Yes. We all agree.
Well, Jan, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Linus, for so many of us, I mean, Linus is the conscience of the comic strip. He is kind of the emotional center of the comic strip. Was that how it was before the TV specials, or did the TV specials kind of push Linus into that position?
You know, I don't know that I can speak to that, because I think those characters were all, the repertory theater, as we call it, was all pretty well, the characters in the repertory theater were all pretty well developed, and they followed, the movies and the theaters followed the way the development of those characters came out of the comic strips. I think it might have accentuated each one of their characters more, and I think you might have gotten a better sense of what Linus's philosophy, how important it was, because it's very subtle in the news, in the comic strip, it's one little panel. And possibly when you see it moving and talking, it becomes more significant. But I think it was just following the strength of each character into the movies.
How did those TV specials come about?
Well, this is just the greatest story, and it's just, you know, too interesting. Charles Schulz worked with a gentleman named Lee Mendelson, who ended up being his partner with Bill Melendez, and they did a Ford Falcon commercial very early on in the early 50s, which was very unusual to match up comic strip characters, you know, with the Ford Falcon, and it worked very well. And they one day Lee got a call, Lee Mendelson got a call, because he's the producer, from Coca-Cola executives, and they said, we want you to do a Christmas holiday special. And Lee said, okay. And this is the true story. Lee just told it again about a month ago. He said, so it was a Thursday afternoon, and he called Sparky up, and he said, Sparky, I just talked to some Coca-Cola executives, and they want us to do a Christmas special. And he said, well, what is that? And he said, well, you're going to write it this weekend. So sure enough, they called up Bill Melendez. They all met for the weekend. They wrote, or Charles Schulz wrote, because he did the writing, wrote the story of the Charlie Brown Christmas on a weekend. And Sparky said that he wanted to make sure that it had great music, that it had snow, because that's what he experienced in St. Paul, and that it had children's voices, because it's more real, and that it had the scripture that Linus said in the school play, because that's how he grew up. And that when they got it finished, the Coca-Cola executive said, oh, this is just not going to work. And it's that we are going to bomb, but we've got to put it on. And as we all know, you know, 50 years later this year, it is still considered one of the classics in the world.
Well, and so, again, this wouldn't have made it through focus groups. And almost didn't.
Well, and Lee Mendelson said, when Charles Schulz said to he and Bill, and I want this biblical quote in, they both went, well, it's dead in the water. Why are we even going to finish, you know, why am I even going to finish, you know, illustrating this? It's dead in the water. But this is what I love about Charles Schulz and his art. And I think at the core of it, it's why it works. He was always authentic. And we identify when we feel things are authentic, authentic to our experiences, authentic to someone else's experiences, if it's explained. And this was his truth. He wasn't making any kind of social statement one way or the other. It's what he experienced as a child, and he knew how to write about that, and everybody else could see themselves in it in the way they wanted to.
We have this tweet from Kate on, and she says, the music of Vince Guaraldi also added to the longevity of Charlie Brown. And I do think that's true. The music is so iconic and so remarkable. And, of course, that was part of that first special
Absolutely.
That aired on television. What did Charles Schulz think of the music? How did he react to it?
He really, really liked the music, very, very much so. And Lee Mendelson, that was one of the things that Lee would tell you that he struggled with in terms of Sparky saying he wanted, you know, to have a unique soundtrack to it, not a standard children's soundtrack. And at that time, Vince Guaraldi had become quite famous for Cast Your Fate to the Winds. And Lee tells the story that, you know, Santa Rosa's 50 miles north of San Francisco, and Lee lives 20 miles south of San Francisco. So he was coming home over the weekend, and he was still struggling with this whole music concept about something unique. And he's coming over the Golden Gate Bridge. He hears Cast Your Fates to the Winds, and he goes, I'm going to call the jazz pianist and see what we can do. That's how it started. And it is a unique, important element, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Here's an email from Mark and Grimes. Mm-hmm. This an unusual story. He said, I started racing the new-to-America sport of motocross in 1972. The sport was very small and looked on as an oddity at the time. The sport spent several years trying to gain a foothold in the U.S. In 1975, You're a Good Sport, Charlie Brown, was shown on TV with most of the characters racing at their local motocross track. It was a great show with a great message. The next day at school, nearly everyone, including the teacher, mentioned it to me. It legitimized the sport immediately and set the course for my life. I've raced for over 40 years and have loved every minute of it.
Wow. Well, once again, that goes back to his truth. His son, Craig Schulz, who once again is the writer and the producer that created the Peanuts movie, he was a motocross fanatic. And the strips with Joe, you know, Joe being the motocross, that comes straight from Charles Schulz's experience as a father of a young man who did motocross.
Now, I have to admit that as a strip reader, and I read mm-hmm. Peanuts forever, and I've seen all the specials and the movies mm-hmm. and all of that.
Yep.
I always had a really hard time that Charlie Brown really never came across as the winner. I just really uh-huh. wanted him to have a victory. And without ruining anything, I think in the new right. movie, which is very true to Peanuts,
right.
he has a pretty significant victory in that movie. How do you feel about that?
Well, let me just say that my personal experience, and it's probably not appropriate, but I'm a little redheaded girl, natural. So I am the kid who in 1965 is cutting out all the strips and giving them to my potential boyfriends. They're all like, get over yourself. But, you know, yeah, we've seen the strip, Karen. So for me, I identify with this quite deeply. But I think it's a very sweet story. It was a big conversation between the family. Should we add this element to it? And they felt it was important to do because they think the message in the story is you always keep trying regardless. And there are rewards in life for being good and loyal and thorough and honest. And the reward for him is huge, shall we say.
Now, it's been 65 years since that first strip appeared. Yeah. And I mean, Charles Schulz drew his daily strips. He never outsourced his artwork. He was deeply invested in this work until the day that he died. And it's been 15 years since he passed away. And and people are still reading these strips. Why do you feel that Peanuts endures the way that it does?
I think it's as simple and as eloquent as the universal appeal that we all see ourselves in the strip. And I think at the base of it, Charles Schulz would tell you when he talks about drawing the strip, he would think about, you know, life's conversations. And he'd think about things like talking with a new friend, discovering new ideas, and learning about each other's is one of the greatest experiences in life. And that was the thing that I think holds us all together. He said he tried to introduce that all of his life. Like, what happens when you meet someone on a school playground? What happens in the summer when you're trying to put together a baseball team that's a winning? What happens when you try to, you know, learn how to skate for the first time? All of the elements of the conversation about how we all see the world and relate to the world are seen through those individual characters and their personalities.
Karen Johnson, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Karen Johnson is director of the Charles M. Schulz Museum and Research Center in Santa Rosa, California. Coming up in a moment, we will go to Comedy College at Iowa State University, a course where students learn to write, hone, and perform stand-up. That's coming up in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.